Yes, brethren, amen.
Mark that word in Psalms 91, Newsom. Right, you said you were looking up what that means.
Which one is it again, Larry?
In verse 3, from the Newsom.
Yeah, go ahead, Larry.
That word means deadly.
Yes. Oh, I see it now. Perilous or deadly. Yeah, I missed that. Sorry, Larry. Deadly and, pestilence.
Yeah. Yeah, just like COVID, but only worse, as you were saying. And you used the term in Ezekiel, corrupted wisdom.
Yeah, good.
That's an oxymoron.
It
no
is,
such
isn't
thing.
It?
No such thing as corrupted wisdom.
Well, none of it's the wisdom of God.
Well, all wisdom flows from God, right? So,
well, there's false wisdom that comes from man, though, Larry. Which isn't true wisdom.
But they don't have wisdom. See, well, that's what I'm saying. You can't corrupt, you can't have false wisdom because it's no longer wisdom.
Well, if it got corrupted, it's not wisdom anymore then, right?
Right.
Which is what happened, to Satan. What he had that was wisdom once got corrupted by his own thinking.
And he no longer had wisdom. Amen.
I wanted to touch base just a little bit on the ark. You know, God told Noah, build me an ark. And I hope everybody doesn't get tired of me saying this, but there's so many times we can understand God and his word better just by knowing God's character and his attributes. And so here's one attribute of God. Does God waste time? No, sir, he doesn't. So when he told Noah, build me an ark, who else was he telling to build him an ark? Every one of us. Okay, God doesn't waste time. So when God says, build me an ark, does that mean we're all supposed to go out and start building a boat in our backyard? No. Now, a boat is an ark, but that's not the definition of an ark. It is one, but the definition of an ark is a container. And obviously a boat is that, right? So an ark is a container, and you've heard the term the Ark of the Covenant. And what's a covenant? A covenant is a promise. So there's a container that contains a promise. Now, what was in that Ark of the Covenant? There were three things in there. The golden pot of manna. And what did Jesus say? I'm the bread come down from heaven. There was the tables of the law. And what did Jesus say? You think I came here to abolish the law? I came here for every jot and tittle. In other words, I came here to cross every T and dot every I of the law. And the third thing was Aaron's rod that budded. There was life in that branch, in that stick. And who's the one that has that life? It's Jesus. So what did the Ark of the Covenant do for the people? Do you remember they used to take it into battle with them and it would cause them to win? And so what did Noah's Ark do for him? It saved him. What did the Ark of the Covenant do for the people? It saved them. So now I want to ask you, what was that Ark of the Covenant? Or maybe I should say it another way. Who is the Ark of the Covenant? Remember, an ark's a container and a covenant's a promise. And what promise did God make man? He said, I will walk in you and I will talk in you. So who's the container that contains that promise? Jesus. So when God says, build me an ark, what he's saying to us is, get Jesus in your life. He's who's going to save you. He's what's going to save you. So that's what building an ark is all about. We have to get Jesus in our life. And the whole message today was about that's who and what's going to save us is having Christ in our lives. Amen.
Amen. Brother Triumph Urias, you put a verse up and I'd like to have you read it to us. Would you?
Sure. Romans chapter 1, verse 22. Or maybe we start from 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools.
Professing themselves to be wise, which is wisdom, they became fools. Another act of corruption of what could have been wisdom. You know, Mike, there was one other use of the word ark in the Old Testament, and that was Moses' little basket that his mother had made. What did that ark accomplish?
Saved Moses' life.
It preserved the servant of God, didn't it? So again, that ark again was a place of refuge. Isn't God interesting how he went about using Pharaoh's daughter to save the man that was going to come against all of Egypt?
Mm-hmm.
Mike, you're muted.
Mike, you're muted.
Oh, okay. What I was saying was talking about God being able to, you know, save us from pestilence and things like that, you know. Can you imagine taking a little baby and sitting him on a little stack of sticks and shoving him off into a river and expecting him to live? It's just like, man, God can do anything.
Well, that little stack of sticks was pitched just like the Ark of Noah.
Even pitched, I'd call it a miracle.
Yeah. Well, Big Sister was watching.
The thing that amazes me about that is that the baby didn't put the baby in the ark. The baby was placed in the little ark.
Say the first part of that, what you just said again, though. The baby didn't put the baby?
The baby didn't put the baby in the ark. And there was another that put the baby in. The baby was a helpless thing.
Oh, okay.
And it
the
was
baby didn't put himself in the ark, in other words.
Right, he didn't put himself in there. God God had a plan. God has a plan.
Yes, amen.
And he was going to fulfill it for whosoever will.
My definition of the ark is a vessel of deliverance.
That's my definition too, Larry. So is God building an ark today? Is he building a vessel of deliverance?
Amen. Yes. Mm-hmm.
And what are the dimensions of this vessel of deliverance? Amen. What were the dimensions of Noah's Ark?
You put us on.
What were they, brethren?
Three 300 cubits.
How many cubits?
300.
300 in length. And what does 300 mean?
Gideon's army.
The what?
Isn't that Gideon's army?
Oh, Gideon's army, yes.
The overcoming army.
Gideon's army. 300 is the number of the overcomers. 300 men overcame an army of, what did I figure at one time? 20-some thousand out there. And they overcame 32,000. Okay, you got the number better for me, Larry. 300. Okay. What was the other dimension of it? What was the width? No, wait a minute. Let's see. 300 length. Yeah, what was the other dimensions?
I think it was 50 cubits.
50 cubits, okay. And what is 50 the number of?
Jubilee.
Jubilee, okay. And Jubilee means deliverance. Freedom from all bondage. Amen. End of slavery. Coming into your possession. Amen. Inheriting the fullness of the kingdom. We have one more dimension on that ark.
30 cubits.
30 high. Okay. And what is 30? The number of
sonship, isn't it? Like the fullness of maturity.
There you go. Fullness of maturity. Give me some examples of that.
Jesus, when he started his ministry.
Jesus was 30 years old when he began his ministry. I mean, he was the Son of God, but God waited until he was 30 years old, fully mature. Give me some other examples of 30. Everybody forget about Joseph? Joseph, Amen. He had to endure tribulation and trouble until he was 30 years old. Had to remain a slave in prison. What do you think all that suffering did to Joseph? Did it make him bitter? No, he learned to trust in God. He learned to rely on the covenant. And he saw the promise of God. He saw the things that he had dreamed come to pass. And he was able to rise and rule in wisdom. Amen? He was a type of Christ, 30 years old. I think there's another good one in the Word.
One thing that just came to my mind was all this trouble, like Joseph's trouble and lots of different troubles. Remember last week, God brought to my mind the scripture, "Doth the plowman plow all day to plant the seed?" And what that's really saying is that guy out there plowing that ground up just for the heck of it? No, he has something in mind. He's going to plant and bring forth something. And that's exactly what God uses the trouble in our life for, to bring forth something in our life, himself.
Is there still trouble in your life, brother? That's for everybody. That's not just Mike. Are you still going through tribulation? Yes. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? That means he's going to finish the job. I remember that time I was in North Creek, and I said to the Lord, I said, God, I just can't take this anymore. The heat is there's just too much heat. I mean, you're going to destroy me. Give me a break. And boy, that was Sunday night. I prayed that prayer. I went to work Monday. Oh, my goodness. There was no trouble that I couldn't handle. I mean, it was just a breeze. I mean, I'm sitting at my desk and people coming in with their troubles. And, you know, by Friday, I was really getting worried. And I said, Lord, I hate to say this, but you're going to have to put me back in tribulation because I'm not going to be finished. I mean, Ephraim is a cake half turned. I'm not going to be worth anything the way I am right now. And I didn't really say it Friday, but I worried. And by Saturday, I actually prayed it. And I said, Lord, I mean, really, you can't leave me like this. I mean, I've got to get to the end of this thing. And I saw that hand reach out again and take a hold of that burner, Bunsen burner, turn the thing 90 degrees. And I felt the flame come on. And I actually, in the spirit, I heard the sound of a steak put on a hot griddle. I mean, I could hear it sizzle. And it was my soul was back in tribulation. And I smiled and I said, thank you, Lord. So, yes, we need a certain kind of trial and tribulation in our life in order to keep us sharp and keep us sons of God. Go ahead, Connie.
Psalm 119:67. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I've kept thy word. And then in 71, it was good for me that I had been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes.
Oh, those are good verses, aren't they? What happens is we get careless. It's really the goodness of God. It's his way of saving us. What did Brother James say about the trying of your faith? More precious than gold. At any rate, if we are in him, he is our refuge, and we can depend on it. It's a covenant that he's made with us, and he will keep it. And he's promised to keep it. He's demonstrated throughout the whole Bible that he will save his elect. And there is no example ever given that he had to rapture his beloved out in order to preserve them. He has many, many other ways to save them. And we're going to see that, brethren. I believe we're going to see that yet in our lifetime, in our generation. Well, if we've come to the end of our meeting, I guess we can say goodbye. Are we at the end of our meeting? Let me turn the recording off.